It pays to serve Jesus. And you can only sing that song the way Minister Max sang it. If he is walking with you through your valley. If he has his hands clasped.
Thank you.
In your hand. As you go through the valley. You know, the hymn writer David, the psalmist, in the 23rd division of the psalm, pens this line. And every time I read it in the English version, it bothers me, Ella Landry, because the English version does not do justice to the interpretation of the psalm in that line. When you read it in the English, you say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And the sentiment of that line is that when I am in that place where death is clutching upon my life, I will have no fear. But do you know that song is not a death song? It's a journey song. David says, Gam ki elech begi selmavit lo ira ra. Even though I am walking in dark crevices, I have no reason to fear. Ki ata imdi, because you are with me. See, David is reflecting, Minister Mac, on when the children of Israel are running away from Egypt. They are being delivered, and they hear the horses of Pharaoh galloping behind them and making them to feel that they cannot get away because their God is not big enough. And the Bible says that Yahweh allowed a dark cloud to come between the children of Israel on one side and the Egyptians on the other side, that they are not able to see the people they are pursuing. And so David is saying, whenever you are in that darkness, it's actually like a hen. Yahweh is covering you to hide you from your enemies. He says, so when I'm walking through this darkness, I have no reason to fear because my haters can't see me. See, the people that intend to kill, oh, I wish I could. They can't see me. But the God that I serve is a God who sees in the darkness. And he knows where he's hiding me. That's why when Moses went up to the mountain, the Bible said that the whole mountain was covered with clouds and with darkness. Only Yahweh could see Moses. Gam ki elech bege selmavet lo ira ra. I will fear So you can sing like that.
Amen.
When you're walking in the valley, because Yahweh is like a cloud. No, this is not the cloud of darkness, I mean of death. This is not a shadow of death. This is the covering of Yahweh to keep you in a place where the enemy can see you. Come on, put your hands together. Yahweh, the hour has come again when your son Yeshua, whom the Greeks called Jesus, should be lifted up. For Yeshua said, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw men or women or boys and all girls up to me. So lift Yeshua up this morning. May he be seen clearly. May he be heard and understood without any ambiguity. And when this experience shall come to a pause, may Yeshua be honored. May Yeshua be blessed and obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to call your attention to two passages of scripture. Quickly, I will not be before you long. The first is a very familiar passage, John chapter 3 and verse 16. And the second is a preaching passage from Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Would you please stand with me in honor of God's word as we read it this morning. John 3:16 and Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. I believe it's on the screen. If you see it, say, I see it. Okay, you don't see it. It's not on the screen yet. Amen. Amen. Well, you should have your Bible with you. We can't depend on this technology. John chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm going to read it as you follow along. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 begins, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, that's enough. That's enough. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As we prepare to come around this blessed table in memorializing the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the soon coming of our Lord Yeshua, I want us to focus on that last line. I would call it Revelation 20, verse 20b. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Now, you know I'm coming out of the King James Version, because in modern English, since it's a singular, you will say, Sister Edwards, I know you're here.
Yep.
If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I want to tag this text, this passage, this morning with the title, It's an Inside Job. It's an inside job. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any woman, any boy, any girl hears my voice and opens the door. Stories told about a yard sale where several people from the neighborhood had come to see if there was something interesting to purchase at this yard sale. Sister Pua, they came and in their rummaging through the wares and items out for sale, they saw a painting. This painting was a painting of a door without a handle. The painter had painted this work, but he did not paint a handle. Sister Nicole, on the door, the first person that saw the painting, excuse it as an unfinished work and not worthy of his investment. Somebody else looked at the painting and said, well, this is the work of a novice. He didn't remember to paint a handle on the door. And I can't purchase such a work. Then somebody else came and looked at it and they decided the painter got disinterested in his work and decided to leave it for a better project, a better idea. And if the painter was not interested in his own vision, why should I spend my money buying this unfinished work? And as they went on to busy themselves with other items that interested them, a young man came, a young boy, and picked up the painting. And after staring at it for a while, Sister Franklin, he started shouting, "Awesome! Awesome! Awesome! What a genius!" And of course, you know, everybody that was around started to scurry toward the young man to see what was it in this useless, unfinished, disinteresting painting that he was so excited about. And as they came around, the young man said, "It is not an unfinished work. The painter was very intentional in this work. It is a complete work. Matter of fact," he said, "the door has a handle, but you can't see it because the handle is on the inside." I wish somebody would hear me this morning. And the authority to grant permission in this door is an inside job. You can only be allowed in this door by the person on the inside.
Okay.
Oh, my friends, I want you to know this afternoon that our text agrees with this young man. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any woman, any boy, any girl hears my voice and opens the door." The handle, beloved, is on the inside, and the authority to permit entry is an inside job. Take a walk with me this morning, this afternoon, as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. Through the teachings of this text, Elder Prochet, and there we will see two implications implications, if you will, of our Lord's irrevocable divine gift of free will to mankind. Two implications of this gift that God has given only to human beings, called the gift of free will, an irrevocable gift, a gift that he cannot take back from us. The first implication in this text is the universal availability of the appealing voice of Yahweh. Somebody said the universal availability. The text says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man," this is a universal availability of the appealing voice of God, that God is not prejudiced, that God is knocking, beloved, at the door of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, but he will not force himself on us. He has given us something called free will and something called choice that is irrevocable. God cannot take it back. It doesn't matter who you are, you have this gift of free will. Hence, the availability of the voice of God appealing to you, black or white, oriental or occidental, poor or rich, educated or ignorant. It doesn't matter who you are. God is saying, I'm standing at your door and knocking. This voice, this appealing voice of God to fallen humanity is available to everybody. That's why we have to carry the voice of God to all mankind. It doesn't matter who they are, where they're from, what they've done, how much they've done it, with whom they've done it. We have to be the voice of God. We cannot be a stumbling block. We have to be a soundtrack upon which this voice is carried, my brothers and sisters. We have to be the sound wave that brings this voice in the hearing distance of people. Didn't Peter declare in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, "Of a truth I perceive," Peter said, "that God is no respecter of person." John the baptizer was asked, "Elder Andrew, who are you? What is your name? What is your title? What do we say to the people that have sent us to inquire of you?" And in John chapter 1 and verse 23, John responded by saying to them, "I am just a voice crying out in the wilderness." Oh, my brothers and sisters, we have to be that voice to make the appeal of God to fallen mankind available to everybody. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice." And then the second implication in this text is the individual ability to choose to hear the voice and hearken to the voice. "If any man, any woman, any boy, any girl hears my voice," Elder Jones, "and opens the door." In other words, God is saying, "I have salvation to give to you. I have a blessing to bring to you. I have peace accept my peace and you refuse to accept my protection and my provision, I cannot force it on you. I will respect you enough to allow you to choose to not open the door. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the divine painter finished his work. The work was intended to be just like the painter intended. The ability to grant permission is an inside job. There is a handle to the door, but it's not on the outside. And I will caution you and I today as we prepare to come to this table. Don't try to repaint the painting. Don't try to put a handle where the painter did not intend a handle to be. In other words, don't get mad at people because they refuse to answer the appeal. Don't punish people because they refuse to accept the knock and open the door. The work of making sure that the appeal, the voice, is available to every man is our responsibility. That's why he told us in Matthew 28, beginning with verse number 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That is our responsibility, to take the voice of God as a sound wave, to take the voice of God as a soundtrack in the hearing distance of people. But the responsibility of them opening the door and accepting the appeal is beyond our pay grade. So don't beat yourself up because your children won't heed or hearken to the voice. Don't feel, Pastor Weegar, that your work is futile and is frivolous and is without consequence because people refuse to accept the appeal. It is not your job. It is the work of the Holy Ghost to impress upon them and to woo them. Your job is to tell them. But watch this. When you read the text, oh, bless his name. In the Greek, that verb stand is in what is called the perfect active indicative. Okay, let's go to school and learn here for a minute. The perfect tense in the Greek is a past action that has consequences in the present and the future. So the text is actually saying, and if we were to literally translate the text word for word, Elandry, the text is saying, behold, I have been standing at the door. I am standing at the door, and oh, bless his name, I will continue to stand at the door. In other words, God is saying, I'm not giving up on you easily. I'm not turning my back on you. I'm not going to push my way in, but I want to stand here until somebody hears me and opens the door. Oh, that's why I thank God for the praying people in the church, because when I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. They kept praying for me. They kept agonizing for me. They kept pleading with God for me. And the master of the sea heard my despairing crying from the waters, lifted me, saving me. So here comes that whosoever believe in him, an individual ability to choose to accept, shall not perish but have everlasting life. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, I want you to know that you can come in, you can come in, you can come in. The invitation is a universal invitation. It doesn't matter who you are. Yeshua's name. Amen.